Hey guys, this is Rainseeker here. I made this recording with Toady One, also known as Tarn Adams, yesterday, December 21st, 2009. And I had some questions actually about the way he made his animals, all the different tags inside the raws. And this is just coder speak for how things are programmed in the game. And if that's not you, if you're not interested in that, you can safely avoid this podcast. But if you do want to know how things work, listen on. This was also partly trying to help myself with the ARC project that I'm doing in the suggestions forum. If you guys want to participate, I'd love you guys to help out, take a look. The goal is to get a bunch of various different animals in there and to get some variation within each animal species, as in frogs and turtles, etc. So go ahead and jump in there. We need as much help as we can get. And this little podcast teaser is intended to help you figure out how to do that. And it's just a little smidgen of dipping your toes into the water. But Toady has promised to help us further if we need it. And go to the ARC project thread under the DF modding section of the forums. Tarn, I have a couple questions to ask you about creatures. And I just thought I'd just kind of go over some random things that caught my eye on, and maybe we can make some animals here that can eat. So,
animals.
We were going to talk about the body size and the numbers that are associated with the appearance modifier. If you guys look down, go down to body underscore size and body underscore appearance modifier. Tarn?
Yeah, so there's the body size tag here, and the body can change size as the creature grows up. Obviously it needs to get larger. So the format here is just you have the year, the day, and the average size at that time. So for a dwarf it says 0, 0, 3,000. So when a dwarf is born, its size is 3,000. I believe the units are cubic centimeters there, and I haven't measured a dwarf baby, so I don't know if these are accurate or not. And then I just have it grow larger. Again, I don't really have this scaled in the first year, halfway through the year. Remember, a dwarf fortress year is only 336 days instead of 365, so that's why it's 168 there. And then they're full grown when they're 12. At size 60,000. So you can make those go up, you can make them go down, you can have something that oscillates in size. It really just draws a line between the points that you give it. And
you can have multiple body sizes, like 0, 1, and 2. Can you go up to, like, you can have more than, like, three different stages, in other words?
Yeah, you can have as many, you can just keep putting stages in there. You can have stages, you can have your different casts can have different stages. Right now, this is defining for all dwarves, male and female, the same sizes. If you wanted them to get a little smaller when they're older or something like that, you can do that by putting, if you put like body size 120, 0, 50,000, then once they hit 12 years old, they'd slowly get smaller until they were 120, and then they'd be 1/6 less if you did it that way. You can do quite a lot with it. It just moves between the different sizes you give it. And, then after that, there's the body appearance modifiers. So the two that are listed here for a dwarf are height and broadness. I didn't put breadth just cause I felt like it. I put broadness. So I don't remember what the reasoning was. I had something about that. But anyway, the body appearance modifier height, it gives you just a bunch of numbers. So that looks really confusing at first. It's like 75, 95, 98, 100, 102, 105, 125. So this is just the way that the ranges are. You might have, I think this is used for personality modifiers already. I don't recall. But there's a way that ranges are handled in the game. It just gives you a bunch of different numbers. The center number there, 100, means that the average height of a dwarf is 100% of its height. That should always be 100. And unless you're dealing with I don't really think there's a case where you wouldn't want that to be 100. And then as you go out from it, it's like making a bell curve. So the first percentiles up and down or whatever, they're 98 and 102, and then that's 98% of the size and 102% of the height of the average dwarf. Now, there's no numeric height given here. It doesn't say anything like a dwarf is 4 feet tall. We just don't have that information yet. And so the shortest dwarf, that means the very shortest dwarf is 75% as tall as the average dwarf. And the very tallest dwarf is 25% taller. It's 125% of the total height of an average dwarf. So if one dwarf were 4 feet tall, the smallest dwarf would be 3 feet tall, and the tallest dwarf would be 5 feet tall. And we do the same thing with the overall broadness of the body. So if you want some variability between individuals, if you're just dealing with animals that you don't care if they're just all the same size or whatever, you could just omit these. And it'll be fine. But if you want it, when you look at a cougar or something, if you wanted to say, well, this is a really tall cougar, then you give it height. I mean, with a cougar, it might be more appropriate to use the word length in there. And,
right. I'm looking at the cougar right now, actually, and I have a length, a height, and a broadness.
Yeah, so cougars in the game can just be different sizes, and you can have a stocky cougar. It'll use the right words. It should say, you know, this is a long cougar, a stocky cougar. I mean, it would be.
Does it affect their hit points or their toughness or whatever?
It takes what it does right now, because it doesn't understand like actual the difference between length and broadness. What it'll do now is take those percentages, multiply them by the body size, and so if you have a really long cougar, it would take the cougar's normal size and multiply it by that percentage. Because if you increase one dimension by 25%, the overall size increases by 25%. So that cougar would get all the benefits of being a larger animal, as if it were that size. And so that it also describes it in text in the game and lets you know. And for animals with massive amounts of variability, especially if you mod one in or something that can be like 200%, then if you're facing like a tall ogre or something, and that means it's really, really tall, then that would be actually be something that would change how you approach that ogre in something like adventure mode or something. It's like you wouldn't mess with that ogre, you'd mess with the other ogre or something. And you'd come back to that ogre later when you had like 200 people to help you or something. So it's useful information. And then in the dwarf, after this, we move on to all kinds of other stuff about body part groups and body appearance modifiers. There's a little bit of text to help you with these, and it's pretty much the same idea. You select some body parts. You select the type of modifier you want to do. So in the dwarf, it selects the eye, and then it says, let's select the modifier close set, and gives different percentages. Now, these percentages are anywhere from 0 to 200, because there isn't really a percentage here. It's just a value from 0 to 200, how close set is their eyes. And the 200 thing is just a kind of a hard-coded number or whatever. You generally want to stick with the same numbers here. Although you can move the bell curve around if you want them to be more or less variable. And you also have to provide a noun, because the game doesn't know how to call eyes eyes, right? You give it a right eye, you give it a left eye, but it doesn't know that those are eyes. So you give it a noun so it can say, the eyes are close set, right? And you also have to tell it if the noun is plural and so on, so it doesn't say the eyes is close set. Because when you're talking about skin color, for instance, or the bridge of someone's nose, you want it to say is. So there's, you have to, and grammar is always a problem in video games with procedural stuff or whatever. You have to teach it how to walk around it. But so there's for the dwarf, if people are looking at the dwarf raw definition, which I suppose we'll, you know, give them with this or whatever, they'll be looking at it. You can look through all of these descriptors, and each one applies to different body parts that it's selected, and it's just, it gives the same range for each one, the same range of numbers. Except when it gets to size, like when it's talking about if the ears have hanging lobes or if they're splayed out or whatever, it gives that 0 to 200 range. But when it actually gets to dimension stuff, like how broad are your ears, how tall are your ears, as a body part. Then it goes back to 90, 95, 98, 100, 102, 105, 110. So what it's saying is that a person's, or dwarf, rather, a dwarf's ears are like never more than 10% taller than the average dwarf's ear or whatever. They don't get really small or really tall or whatever. And in the game, those numbers, the height of your ear will actually affect the size of your ear. So that has combat effects or whatever, and it might even affect the amount of meat that you get off it if you were to do something with it. And also another thing, even going back up to the body appearance modifiers, there's this thing that says app mod importance, and then just says 500. All that means is it's a modifier that says where it appears in the paragraph. So it's one of those things you just kind of have to test out to see how it's going to fit, because it takes how far, like if their height is 125 in this case, that means it deviated from the average by 25 points. And 25 points isn't that much. That means at the very bottom of the paragraph it would say something like the dwarf is tall. Whereas that's actually really important, right? So app mod importance 500 means that it takes a 25, multiplies it up by 500. I think the default number might be 100. I don't quite remember. And so that would make it, you know, five times as important that the dwarf is actually tall. So that would generally put that information way higher up in the paragraph. And it's really the only other time it comes up is if you've got something like if you look at the ears for a dwarf. Normally, like the splayed out and lobes and stuff, those don't get modifiers because they range from 0 to 200. So that's a huge range. And the deviant ones will be out by like 100. Like if your splayed out ears get 200, that's a deviance from the average of 100 points, right? You're way out there.
Right.
And that says in the paragraph, that's like, that's 100. Now it might not count as much as a height modifier because of that importance. But the problem here is for broadness of ears and height of ears, the most you can change is by 10%. And that's because we didn't want like these giant ears that are like 100% larger than the average ear, right? But then you need to compensate for that by saying if someone has an ear that's 10% larger than normal, that's going to look like a big ear. So the app mod importance there is jacked up to 700, so that if the ear is different by 10%, then that'll actually give you a 7,000. Where if the default number is 100, then a splayed out of 200 would give you a 20,000. So it's still more important if your ears are really like 90 degrees off your head, but a tall ear is still gets some credit and will get mentioned in the paragraph a little sooner. If that's the thing. So it's really a thing where if you notice consistently that your paragraphs are not satisfactory, then you can look at the numbers and change it. And using the dwarf as a guide, you can kind of see the cases where that's going to come up. It's really when you have those size modifiers that you don't want to let get out of control. And really, for practically speaking, if you're just adding animals, all this stuff can be omitted. Like, unless you care, like, exactly what the cougar's face looks like and the differences between cougars, that's where this would come up. Now, more importantly, down at the very bottom of the dwarf, there are some other modifiers. And for these modifiers, these are the color modifiers. You select groups of tissues now. So each body part has tissues, and so this set TL group by category all skin. So first you need to select which tissues you're talking about. And the syntax here, by category, that's just like body parts have categories like is it a head, is it a body, whatever. And this is just saying select everything. You could also be put by token there. Like the token for an upper body is generally UB. So if you put by token UB instead of all, you could actually just select the upper body if you want to do something with that. But here you can pretty much always do it this way when you're doing colors, unless you really want to mess around with individual colors. Like if you wanted to make the head white, like a lot of animals have a different color head or whatever, you could put by category head. And then that would select the proper body. But in any case, so we're selecting all the skin, And then what we do is add a color modifier to the skin. And then it just gives all the different colors. The one means that the chance of that being chosen is one out of however many there are in the list. So if you put a 10 on cinnamon, for instance, then cinnamon would be 10 times as likely as the others.
Oh, okay.
So it's just a chance. And, you know, effectively you could leave them all one. For instance, the panther or the jaguar, creature has like a 1,000 for being a regular kind of orange spotted color, but it has like a 60 for being black and a 1 for being white. I found those chances somewhere, probably Wikipedia or something. And so so it has the proper chance of being a black panther or whatever. And so you can do that.
And if both parents are black, then is that 100% black?
It's got the genetics that pass the colors down and so on. So yeah, that's all. I believe that's working. I tested that for dwarves. I had dwarves that were certain colors have kids, and the colors came through. There's some stuff that works. I think I don't quite remember how far I got with this stuff. There's dominant recessive stuff and so on, so that you could be a carrier for your grandparents' eye color or whatever. I believe that's in. If it's not, it's rectifiable, but I believe that's in. And I think by default those all work in that kind of dominant recessive way, but you can also set it. I don't know if there's a case where I've actually used that token, but there's a token that lets you set the inheritance model for the different things. And then you also see in the dwarf that there's a way to make the skin wrinkly as they get older, and there's this thing about the rates and so on. So
these percentages for chances, they're just for world gen basically, and then genetics takes over after that.
Yeah. This is just for world gen, or for like if you meet an animal in the woods, like when something is created from scratch. Without respecting its parentage, then that's the only time these are used. And you also see the eyes are modified, and that's the same format. And you can see the interesting thing with the wrinkly modifier there. You see all these zeros, zero, 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 zero. That means people's skin does not start wrinkly. But it's got a modifier rate so that every year the wrinkliness increases, and that 60-0 there means that it increases starting at age 60. It goes up by one every year. And I believe the 0-100 is the minimum maximum. So you can start at zero wrinkliness, increase by one each year once you hit 60, until when a dwarf is 160 years old, they cap their wrinkliness at 100 when they're just, you know, completely shriveled or whatever. Completely wrinkled. At the age when around the time when that's their maximum age.
And this is completely off topic, but it'd be fun to have a little herb or something that you could apply to the skin.
Well, that's all the kind of stuff that's open now. That'll be really cool to have things where an herb has an effect where it affects your wrinkly appearance modifier and sets it to zero or whatever. It's all kind of possible now within the mechanics once we start putting stuff in. And there is a preset list of words which I'll just have to release, like wrinkly and all those words like broadness and deep set and stuff. That's all hard coded right now. The main reason that's hard coded is just because of all the text that's associated to talking about wrinkliness and stuff. You just need to you'd need to provide an awful lot of text to add custom ones, which is not something that I'm against doing. It's just something I didn't have time to do. There are a few other things, like if you look at the hair for the dwarf, which is up above a little higher, it talks about how it has color modifiers that come in over time. So a dwarf's hair can be a couple colors. But it can become gray and then white over time as they age. don't know if there's any other interesting ones there. So this is, I mean, this is all stuff that if you deleted this entire list except for the basic colors, the animals would still be fine. It's just a, so this is really if you want like a lot of control over creatures that you're going to be seeing a lot of, right? Mm. Like a dwarf, and you want to have variability between individuals and your dwarves and so on.
Or maybe you want like a bunch of different cows or horses.
Yeah, yeah, that's the one that I haven't. Just a sec. Let the cat in. Hey, mister.
Speaking of animals.
Mr. Baby Cat, use a baby cat, use a little tummy tummy boy. All right, you've been outside a long time. Now you get to be happy again. Happy with daddy, use with your daddy. Baby cat. Alright. So, yeah, I kind of forgot where I was, but, oh yeah, with dogs. Yeah, I haven't added, I mean, I'm not quite sure how they should be structured, to make it so that you can breed dogs that have all kinds of patterns and stuff. Because dogs, in actuality, they have all kinds of colors, right?
Yeah, so and sizes, too.
Yeah, yeah. The sizes are easier because you can just say, like, size, right? The size is variable, and that's all genetically inherited now. But, like, to make, like a Rottweiler or something where you've got a little bit of orange on the face in certain places and stuff, it's difficult to do that. So right now, I think you can just change a dog's, like dogs have a bunch of hair colors or whatever, and you can select the ones you want, and you know I might make it so the head also has an independent color or whatever. So that means that dogs would start out just having, they just look like a smorgasbord of colors and mess of colors, right? And then you could breed, like if you found a dog that had a black head and a white body and a dog that had a brown head and a black body, then what would it be, like a fourth of their offspring would have black heads and black bodies? And then you could selectively breed those, and then they'd all have, well, once you got the recessive traits out, they'd all have black puppies, just pure black puppies. And then you could breed those puppies and have more black puppies, and then you'd have a dog breed. Oh, but cool. But it's the matter there is, where do I start, right? It's like, do I just do head and body color? You'd want little paw color too, right? All kinds of little things. And then people would be like, well, what about like striping and what about this and spots, like Dalmatian spots? It's pretty complicated to support everything, because when you support all those variations, then the original dogs just look like a mess, right? Because you need those traits to like appear over time. So I'm not sure how it actually works with dogs, if people know how it actually works with dogs, like how many different genes are involved and all that kind of stuff. That kind of information might be useful in figuring out how it should actually be set up. So I'm not going to kill myself right now trying to set it up, because I know I'd be doing it wrong. But yeah, that's the idea.
Well, cool. Thanks, Tarn.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe we can revisit this again some other time.
But yeah, I'm sure there's going to be lots to talk about when we'll get
questions.
Fingers on the raws, especially. There's going to be a lot to talk about.
Yeah.